I like that guy that was
Blog
dressed
Talk
in
Radio.
You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawahis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Osio Ginalii Tohiju Toigu, which means, hello cousins, I'm fine, how are you? This is your old buddy Bluewater coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau in east central Tennessee, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the old Cherokee Nation.
Hello, everybody. This is your old buddy Bluewater coming to you with the Saturday, June 19th version of Prophecy Keepers. And our guest will be the most astute Dr. Robert Ghostwolf again today, returning. There have been some concerns lately in a lot of different quarters, all concerning the Federal Reserve Bank pumping enough money into the money supply to devalue the dollar by 20%. There's been a lot of military activity all over the country, fast and furious. We have 10 aircraft carriers, and the doctrine up to this point is to have half of them in port and half of them at sea, but now all but one or two are at sea, and a lot of rumors are running wild all over the place, and not that they're unfounded rumors, but anyway, we thought we might take a look at all this including in the discussion all the meteorites that have been, particularly in the southern hemisphere, some as big as a house the other night, and some are large enough that they're falling through roofs and people's houses. So we thought we'd talk about all of this in the light of Native prophecy, and to do so, we'll bring out the Past Master, author of many books on Native prophecy, Dr. Robert Ghostwell. How are you today, Doctor?
Okay, we're doing fine. How are you doing over there?
Yeah, doing pretty well. Doing pretty well. What do you think about everything that's going on?
Well, what's going on is got a lot to do with the process of purification. You have to remember that when we talk about the prophecies, are we talking about new prophecies or are we talking about old prophecies? And when we talk about the old prophecies, well, they're not going to change. The elders saw forth into the future to the best of their ability, and they saw visions. They didn't see newspaper headlines. They didn't know what a 2.5 gigahertz computer processing chip was. They didn't know about telescopes viewing heavenly bodies. So when we talk about like the blue kachina and the red kachina and things that are going on, and that we would see them, I think a lot of us took things literally like we would see them with our eyes right above our head. And we're not. We're seeing them with telescopes. We're seeing them with satellites. The elders talked about the collapse of all the structures of the present paradigm. The religious structures, the scientific structures, the social structures, the financial structures. And what we're seeing is the process of events where that is actually occurring. And it's creating a lot of chaos, yes. And probably the chaos is because we ourselves, all people, have strayed from the focus being on spiritual things and their spiritual status to the real world. And the real world is the world of man, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
And the world of man doesn't make a lot of sense. It never did make a lot of sense. It's filled with contradictions just by who we are and what we do. And we're seeing things going on in an unfolding picture of a people that are holding a vision of the coming of an Armageddon. Well, these people have been holding this vision for 500 years. And when you're holding a vision that long, you're going to manifest it. And they seem to be doing everything that they can do to manifest the outcome of an Armageddon scenario. But are they talking about the facts? Are they talking about what's really going on? Are they talking about, when we talk about the war in Iraq, are we talking about the massive underground installations? No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the success of the military. We're talking about what we're doing. It's become a political issue and not a real issue. So people are seeing one thing on television and hearing another thing on the radio and experiencing another thing in life. The fact of the matter is, in life right now, the economy in this country is so bad and people are suffering to such extreme extent that they're being dragged into the everyday mundane reality. And they're bombarded with media. They're not embracing spirituality. They're looking for cognizant, intellectual ways to get through a maze of a series of complexities that have to do with what this politician said, what that politician said, and how do I pay the mortgage. They seem to have forgotten that sometimes to move what's in front of you, you have to go above. Sometimes you can't have all the answers. I see a lot of that going on right now. Also, there's no one talking about what's happening to us emotionally, what's happening to us mentally as we are going through this process of emergence, the emergence of the fifth world. And when we go through a period like this, the changes happen first within, and then they manifest without, which is something that the mind owners are trying to drill into us now for more than a generation. When I do prophecies and when I've done prophecies, I get hundreds of questions about birth changes, and I don't tend to go there a lot because I figure there's enough news coverage, you know. There's enough people out there talking about what's going to happen and what happens after California falls in the ocean and what happens after this volcano falls in the ocean. Every 2 days we hear about another comet that's going to come and destroy this, destroy that. And we no longer know which is the real message and which is the false news hype. One of the things that we have to understand is that we are going through right now a period where we are walking between two worlds. We are changing from within. We're not changing from without. You know, there's not this new race that's going to come from without and miraculously repopulate the earth with a super race. It's not going to be like that. The way it is that we are rebirthing from within. We're changing from within. And we are walking through a period. This period of walking between two worlds is a time where we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen between now and 2012. When anybody has gone here, whether they were remote viewers, whether they were working with Major Doom, or whether they were working with the military, or whether they were working with Yuri Gagarin, a series of scientists over in Europe, or whether they were elders looking into this period of time doing ceremony, there's this period of what they call a blind spot. And that's where we're in right now. We're in this blind spot, and the blind spot is part of an initiation to see how we respond, how we deal with the emerging reality, which is part of the process of purification. Like any initiation, it's for purification. It's to burn out that which is unnecessary and to rectify that which is incorrect. That's what an initiation is. What we do know is that life continues. Life continues after this period. But what we don't understand is that it appears that life takes various roads. There are various pathways to what happens after this period. And I think that this is where a lot of people come in and they use sensationalism. They grandstand possibilities. You know, the scientists just saw this meteor coming here, that coming over here, and we see this coming over here, and they grandstand it. When I say that, I mean they present it with a lot of hype. They show the pictures, so to speak, but they don't come up with the answers because they don't really have the knowledge. And this is causing a lot of confusion. The only way that we can get unconfused is to go back to the basic premises of the simplicities of how these prophecies were laid out. We know that we're going to continue. We know that there are various pathways after this. We can't see into this time period because this is the place where we write the pages of our own destiny. Which way we will go when we're through this particular period of the emergence where the spiritual world and the physical world and the intellectual world are all merging into one. And what happens in the emergence is they integrate. After they integrate, well, then there's a natural polarity that occurs. So one group of people go in this direction and another group of people go in this direction. The premise is that your thought creates the nature of reality. So we live on a world that has billions of people, and people find it very hard to even conceive that a creator or that Yeshua, Jesus Christ, would be able to hear them or see them. Because if you go up from an eagle's eye and you look down, there's like billions of people like ants. How is that creator going to hear you, this little tiny speck down in the middle of all of this? Well, that he will, she will, the creator, the source of things, will. It doesn't work. Source doesn't work off the same paradigm that humans work off of. And a lot of what I see going on with people that bothers me is there are teachings going on, there are ceremonies going on by people who are not qualified, people who have never been initiated, people who have no background for many years, learning how to chop wood and carry water, and to move in humility until they reach a point that they can understand. So what we see is a lot of people grandstanding their own positions. And the purpose of ceremony, the way I was taught, and I'm only a Mete, I don't speak for traditional elders, I don't speak for any particular group, I speak for me as a Mete, I am standing on my own. Otipimsulak. Otipimsulak means he who owns himself. So as a Mete, I have to speak that way. And as a Mete, I may be involved in ceremonies with different types of people. I may be with Cree, I may be with Shoshone, I may be with Apache, I may be with Lakota, I may be with Athabascan, I may be with Haudenosaunee. And there's a commonality that is between all people. And ceremony is not done to make you be big. Ceremony is done for the people. Ceremony is when you go into and you are a ceremonial leader, you spend years learning how to, at least we used to, spend years learning how to get rid of yourself. So that when you go in there, all you are is in service. You are moving because you're not responsible for what's happening. If somebody gets healed, it's not you. It's Kunkashuas, it's the spirit. It's great mystery. All you're doing is acting as a translator and as a vehicle to ground that energy in a specific place so that people can tap into it. That's all you're doing. You're a facilitator. But what we see is a lot of people trying to make big names for themselves, you know, and wear hats with many feathers. And there's none of that in a real ceremonial leader. There's none of that because you can't do it. There's not enough room for you and your ego in the Sweat Lodge. There's not enough room. And when you do a ceremony like that, well, you're going to hurt a lot of people. You're going to bring in a lot of things. People are going to be reacting to a lot of negative energies because you're trying to manipulate something. Everything that we do when we do anything like this is always done with an air of cooperation. You ask the elements to cooperate with you. No person sits there and goes, look what I've done. Look how I have healed you. I can't heal you, but that which works through me can heal you. So this period of walking between worlds is where we're being tested on all of this. And right now we're seeing a world which is in total opposition. The world is being spun by the media. The world is being spun by the television programs. The world is being spun by the movies. If anybody's ever been involved in writing a movie, for any of these guys in Hollywood, you would understand where I'm coming from. I've done a couple. And you wind up writing this beautiful, explained, detailed, step-by-step process of what's going on. And then when they come back with you with what they have changed and edited so they can present it, you're lucky if it holds 10% fact, 10% reality. So the images that we're getting are not complete. And people have slipped into fear, they've slipped into isolationism, they've slipped into separatism, and they've forgotten the rule of commonality. Commonality is what the whole thing is about. People exist for the benefit of each other. Grandma used to say to me, anybody can be born in this world with two legs, but you have to earn the right to be accepted into the human being society. She was in Lakota, so yeah. Back in those days, when Grandma would talk, I would just listen. And now I'm understanding what she was saying. And we have lost that. So we focus on what they feed us. And if the only thing that we're putting into our brain is what they're feeding to us on television, what they're feeding to us on CNN and Fox, and what they're talking about on some of these ridiculous shock and awe talk shows, we're not going to get the real picture. And they can only talk about what they see. And we are living in a country that has lost its spiritual foundation. It doesn't know where its spiritual foundation is. This is part of the breakdown of the paradigms, yes?
Yeah.
And
sure is.
Are we still here?
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Okay. Everything went really quiet. I was wondering if I went into that other zone.
No. Nope.
I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
So where we are is that we were told that this would happen. We were told that they would come and they would force their religion on us, that we were told they would change the social perceptions and the spiritual understandings, and they would separate people from this. And we've been separated now, all of us, from true teachings for a very long time, for hundreds of years. And what we're seeing is people who no longer know how to come together.
I'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Friends, this is Will Bluewater. Would you think twice about defending yourself or a loved one from an intruder? In this day and age, would you dream of leaving your doors unlocked at night for fear of being burglarized or even attacked or worse? Would you? But when it comes to our own bodies, the doors to our houses are wide open all the time. The very air we breathe and the food we eat, especially here in the United States, creates free radicals that cause us to age and in some cases cause illness, some of which are deadly. Now, for the first time in history, there's a supplement called Protandim that is listed on the U.S. government's PubMed.gov website, with many peer-reviewed studies all showing that Protandim is a proven killer of the free radicals that are aging and in some cases even killing us. Now, I'm not talking about killing one molecule of free radical per one molecule of antioxidants like the stuff we've been taking. I'm talking about killing 1 million free radicals per second, per molecule, and this is the very same antioxidant your own body produces. Protandim supercharges your body to create much more than it does without Protandim. There's an old saying that we are warned about in the scriptures. That's the attitude, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. So let me ask you, how much money do you spend on food a day? If you're out shopping or at the beach, would you think anything of spending a buck or even more on a can of soda? If there was a vending machine that sold something that killed what was aging you or even killing you, would you even hesitate to spend a buck and a half a day? Well, now there is such a vending machine, and it's sitting right in front of you. It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
Because strength isn't coming together. It's not in separating. Strength is not in transmitting the energies of hate, fear, and mistrust. Yeah, there's a lot of lies going on. So grandma would say, yeah, okay, they're lying. Now what are you going to do? People are people, and people right now are hurting. People right now are feeling afraid. They're feeling alone. They're feeling abandoned. And they don't have extended family. They don't have tribal order to bring them together. And all people on the earth came from tribal background. All people. If you go back to the ancient Europeans, they came from tribal backgrounds. And when they had that, they were strong people. They had a culture. They had a perception. They had a faith. And it took the onslaught of armies and total annihilation to break that faith. But today, we don't have that kind of faith. as a people, as a whole. And the opportunity now is to create that new. The opportunity now is to look at the whole world and what is really going on in America. Why is America different than any other place? And that's, if you get back to what I'm talking about here, it's like we have right here people from literally every culture and every spiritual perception in the world living together in a situation where, you know, 15 years ago the elders came out, 20 years ago, and they talked about things that would be coming, and people listened to grandfathers in the Hopi Nation. They would listen to Thomas Banyaga. They listened to Pete Ketchus. They listened to Fool's Crow. They listened to people who never, in any of my experience with these people, did I ever hear them talk about anger, racism, separatism, or judgment. Never once. And now that whole flavor has changed. So people shy away. It's when you're getting yelled at all the time, it's like going in front of that fire and brimstone preacher who you go there supposedly for salvation and all they do is hit you over the head with a stone and tell you how worthless you are, but don't worry, you're going to go to heaven if you're good. And what's good? What is good anymore? So what do? They go to the TV, they go to the radio, they go to, and all they're playing on is propaganda. So all we think that's going on in the world is war. All we think that's going on in the world is all of this terrorism. And it's no different now than it's ever been, except that now it's on television.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you go back to, like, the last Gulf War, and people try to remember, you know, who are old enough, remember how that happened, and when Granddaddy Bush got up there, and for the first time on television and world media used the term the New World Order. All of a sudden certain things became a reality, and that was the first experiment in using the media as a tool to control and lull the masses. So every day we saw films of the troops, every day we saw another thing happening, and it caused everybody to have this unified perception, because if that's all you're listening to and all you're following is your TV, that's all you're going to know. It's the only thought in your head. So they're steering us away, whether knowingly or inadvertently, steering us away from our own spiritual knowing. For instance, Thomas Banyaga got up years ago and spoke about a comet that was going to hit the Earth. It would be a large comet. And I think I just sent you the other day the news report out of Australia about this comet the size of a house that hit. So, of course, when a comet hits, it's no longer a comet. It's now a meteor. But if we go back in history and we go back to what happened in Siberia, well, there was a comet that the scientists said, and who says the scientists know everything? The scientists said was large, a little bit larger than that, and it hit Siberia and it caused total annihilation of life, and mammoths died in a few seconds with the buttercup still in their mouth. It laid the trees to waste, so on, and so forth. Well, the Hopi told us this comet would come. They didn't say when on a timeline. They didn't say at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on this date. They said when these signs are in the sky, when the blue kachina comes back, when the red kachina appears, and they told a story. They told a story that when Sasquatchaho, the blue kachina, came, that would be a sign that the twins had come back to shake up the Earth, the twins representing both the North and the South Pole, so to speak. And I think that since we talked about that, and you have something up on your website on that, yes?
Well, I wrote that article about it.
We talked about we would see, and it would be the time that we saw the comet with the two tails.
Uh-huh.
One white, one blue. Well, that was Helba.
Yep. Well, when the elders went on with you, on the Art Bell Show, it's been 7 years now. You know, they said that 7 years from that time.
Yeah, well, back then it was nice and safe to talk about it because people thought it was, you know, off in the distance somewhere. But what we were trying to tell them is it wasn't off in the distance. It was right over our heads. And now these things are coming through like precision clockwork. The twins would come, they would shake the Earth, they would shake the polarity of the Earth. When you shake the polarity of the Earth, you're shaking the magnetics. When you shake the magnetics, you cause a confusion in the mind. Since the time that I did that show with the Hopi, and we got up there and talked about that, there's been a lot of shaking up of the way we see the world, hasn't there been?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, people today look at things very differently than they looked at back then. So we're seeing the results exactly the way they said it would happen. But we're looking in the wrong place for a solution. When a country, any country, no longer has credibility and faith in what they stand for, then the only way that they can hold together their society is through military might.
You got Rome.
Right? Wasn't that the lessons we learned
yeah.
in Rome? Wasn't that the lessons we saw with the Aztec?
That's right.
They couldn't hold the world. The Toltecs held an empire together that went all the way from Mexico up into Canada, all the way down into Bolivia. And they did it based on their knowledge. They did it based on their spiritual power and understanding. They didn't do it with armies that killed people. The Aztecs came in, and they were of a lesser spiritual vibration, so to speak, not to say that there's anything wrong with Aztecs. But they didn't have the knowledge that the Toltecs had. The Aztecs did not build the Teotihuacan. They did not build these great cities. So, and the Aztecs were really here for a very little short period of time, weren't they? The
yeah.
amazing thing about the Aztec Empire to me is that they accomplished what they accomplished, and they went to their peak, and they totally disintegrated all within 200 years. That's, like, amazing.
Yeah.
And the Toltecs were here for thousands of years. So, but again, how did the Aztecs wind up holding their empire together, and what eventually brought them down? They wound up not being able to hold their empire together, their society together, through spiritual values. So they held it together through military might.
Yeah.
And they became conquerors, and they went out and they killed everybody and sacrificed thousands and thousands of people. And it was a program of fear. Well, I think a lot of that's going on right now. And the polarity that we're seeing, well, there's a lot of attack. There's a lot of attack that does not come out through the media against our present form of government, which has evolved from a government for the people, by the people, which was originally a Haudenosaunee thing, wasn't
mm-hmm.
it? I mean, when I read the Constitution, I was reading the Confederation of the Iroquois Tribes.
Mm-hmm.
And except that they left out a few key items. Like they decided that they didn't want to deal with the equality of women. They didn't want to have that circle, so they just eliminated it.
Yeah.
And, you know, but when they first started out, they understood the principle of, you know, and the Haudenosaunee chief came in with 13 arrows, and he took one arrow and showed them how easily it could be broken. And then he took the other 12 and held them together in a bundle, and they could not be broken. And so Benjamin Franklin got this incredible inspiration about the unity of the tribes and the colonies, and so they put the 13 stars on the foot. They started out the right way, but then they forgot about it. We have a government now. How many of us watched that? Did you watch that whole Reagan ceremony?
No. No, I sure didn't.
When he died, the whole funeral?
No. No, I kind of made it a point not to.
That was a major ceremony.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was major, bring everybody into the fold and polarize them into this unified thought, because everything's going bad and nobody likes what's going on in Iraq. But everybody was behind Iraq when we went over there. I remember all the American flags hanging over the bridges on a freeway, you
mm-hmm.
know? And everybody was driving around with the American flag after 9/11 on their cars. I'm like, we have to go out and do these guys in. Well, we had a major fault in that whole program, and that's that we didn't understand the nature of the enemy, you know. And we have a whole fault in understanding what's really going on over there. It's not that government fighting our government. It's not Muslims fighting Christians. It looks that way because they spin it that way. It's what's going on over there is street gangs. You got the Bloods and the Crips.
Mm-hmm.
Only instead of having their private little wars on the street, they're blowing up buildings and working with anti-aircraft guns that they stole from Saddam Hussein's military repositories. And they're using it that way. But they're basically low-level hoods. They're punks. They're warlords. They're intimidators. There's no society there.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, when you're going to do battle, you have to identify the enemy. Otherwise, who are you battling? You know, so this all creates this energy of chaos in which they spin fear and they run their programs on the media every day about what will you do when biochemical warfare hits your town? Are you prepared? I mean, they're scaring the hell out of everybody. And they don't come up with a solution. The solution is not in combating force with force. The solution is looking at them scrambling, trying to hold together their false illusion of what this world and this life is really about. And so, like, we have all of those ships moving now. You sent me the article on that.
Uh-huh.
And like, well, why would they be doing that? Well, you know, they have to create a military wall of defense from the Taliban and all these terrorist groups who are threatening the Middle East leaders who are playing an entirely different game. The Middle East leaders understand one thing. There's only one way to control America, because America, from their perception, does not see life through their eyes. All America sees is materialism. All America is about is money. That's
oh, yeah.
Why the attack on the World Trade Center. It didn't work because it was not done with intelligent thought. But you now have Saudi Arabia, who came out with the dinar, which is a money that is based 100% backed by gold. It just so happens that they have all the Persian gold, they have all the Egyptian gold.
Uh-huh.
They make an agreement with China. China now is going to come up with a currency that's backed with 100% gold. Well, if you understand the economics system of the U.S., we're basically 85% inflated. If we ever got called in on the gold, we couldn't pay the debt.
That's right.
And if they come up with a dollar, so to speak, on the money market that is backed up by 100% gold, well, if you're living in tenuous times and no one knows how long what government's going to be where, what are you going to invest in? If you're a money person, you're going to invest in a gold-backed dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So this, if executed, would cause the American dollar overnight to lose greater than 50% of its value on the world market, which means that the false sense of security that we have in this country, because everything's based on credit, and everything's every week you're sending in a new credit card. Well, don't worry about your debt. Just get more in debt and refinance your house and take your sovereignty away and take your money from your house and put it into here, and then we'll pay off all your debts, and you'll only have to make one payment a month to us.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the philosophy of it?
Mm-hmm.
So now, people will no longer even own their homes.
Yep. Well, they never did.
They don't own them now, but now they will own even less of what they... So...
Well, even when they got a deed...
Who's the bank? Who's the bank that's buying the mortgages?
Even when they get a deed, after they pay off the mortgage, they get a fee simple deed, which means they still don't own it, because a fee simple is the old fee utile title, which means eminent domain. You know, the government. Fee simple, you pay rent in the form of taxes. Or they will, I mean, who owns it? See, if you don't pay taxes, find out who owns your property. The old allodial title, which some state governments, it's still in their constitution. I believe Nebraska and Minnesota both state that there would be no land except for allodial title. So, you know, people have gotten away from that.
Well, the scary thing is, where's the money coming from that's creating all these mortgages?
Yeah.
And the money's coming from China, and the money's coming from the Middle East.
Oh, yeah.
They're buying all the real estate. So if they decrease
the dollar, something with their money.
If they decrease the dollar, they decrease the value of the dollar, and they call the note, right?
Yeah.
Just like the Pharaoh did to the Hebrews in Egypt, and he called his note, and the Hebrews were then locked into bondage, okay?
Mm-hmm.
These are financial terms. They're not spiritual or political terms. They're financial terms. So the Hebrews were put into bondage. They had to work for Pharaoh because they owed the Pharaoh for the time that he allowed them to live there during the drought and starvation, which is what Moses meant when he said, free my people from bondage. Free them from the contract. Well, if they were to devaluate the dollar and then call the note, so let's say that they held, you know, the bank here because banks, the banks trade mortgages. You know, it's like you get, and then 9 months later you get a letter that says so-and-so now has your mortgage because they sell those mortgages. So if they have $1 million note on your farm, okay, and the value is of the dollar is now decreased by 50%, well, they call the note, and that bank now has to pay them $2 million. They don't have it. They give it to them. They now take that note, which is now $2 million. They send you a letter and say, da-da-da-da-da-da, because of such and such and such and such, your mortgage payment will now not be, you know, $1,000 a month. It'll be $2,500 a month. Or else we're going to have to call the note. You have 60 days to respond.
I'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
It is so great to have our friend Marie Osmond back here on GMA, and she has some important information about making sure your family is prepared for natural disaster. She's the new national spokesperson for Wise Company, which makes dehydrated and freeze-dried emergency foods and food storage products. She's here to tell us about that. Marie, you've been given the opportunity to endorse probably 9 billion things over the course of your career.
True.
Why the Wise Company?
The reason I wanted to do it is because it's affordable. You can eat a meal for a dollar. It's less than school lunch. It's affordable, but really, look at what's been going on with Sandy and Katrina. I mean, what was it, $78 billion of damage done just here in New York and
right.
New Jersey.
So what is this?
What it is it's emergency meals. And, you know, it's not your grandmother's kind, not the beans and rice and the gross chicken-tasting
right.
garbage. This is lasagna and really good stuff. And I swear to you, why am I here talking about this? Because I know it's going to save thousands and thousands and thousands of lives. You put it under your bed. It's convenient. Stick it in your closet. If something happens, I have it in my car. All you do is you open it and you add water. You don't even have to add hot water.
Right.
And it's affordable. It's convenient. It tastes really good. Taste the peaches. They're fantastic.
This is a peach?
But they're different than every other company because it's like dehydrated. And freeze-dried, and they combine whatever. I swear it's fantastic. Just try it.
I'm trying it right now, Marie
Osmond.
Put it
under your bed, put it in your closet, give it for Christmas to people, and save lives.
Thank you very much. Will you tell Donnie that we said we hope his rear feels better?
Well, you know, it's kind of a bummer, but I'll tell him.
No, Marie Osmond, great having you on.
It's
the Wise Company.
To be here.
Great to be with you.
It's always fun to be here. It's a great place.
All right.
Friends, this is Will Bluewater. If you'd like to find out more about Wise Foods, visit wisefoods.org.
That's how
we
do it. So people want to be alert to this get out of debt quick free scam that is going on all over the place.
Well, I was going to say, I didn't want to interrupt you,
Well, you can interrupt us.
You might, you know, people, you know, there's enough of a change. What I'm trying to say is, you know, think about saving your houses. Maybe the last thing you really ought to be focusing on, because, you know, from all indications, you know, that might be the last thing people are thinking about. They may want to get as far away from their houses as they can. I just got an email from my friend Mark out in Denver, and I didn't read this to you earlier when we were sitting talking for the interview. But do you know what Jim McKinney talked about on his show yesterday? So Bluewater, here's some notes I took while listening to Jim McKinney's 617 show. Leaks in the Southern Hemisphere military and astronomers are active in Wormwood location in Australia. Now, Wormwood's a naval military base down there.
Right.
And reports of a mini solar system is coming into ours. There is no time frame given now. The Harrington Naval Administration, Naval Observatory, saw it in the early 90s. Hale-Bopp, which is some sort of a mini solar system itself, but smaller. Hale-Bopp was probably part of this incoming mini solar system at one time and broke off interacting with our solar system in the past. My note number one, he says, this would fit the Hopi prophecy about the blue star Kachina being followed 7 years later by a red Kachina, the purifier. Hale-Bopp came through in 1996 through 2000, so 7 years later is 2003 to 2007. And actually, the elder said on the show with you back 6 years prior to May of 2003, they said that when Hale-Bopp disappeared, well, you know, it starts counting. Well, Hale-Bopp disappeared from the Northern Hemisphere the first week of May in 97. So anyway, so the elite are not going to share their underground cave systems with you. Jim believes the public will have 1 to 3 week notice at most. The Harrington Observatory said May and June are months for viewing the mini solar system object in the Southern Hemisphere. No, Hale-Bopp also came through in May of 97. Well, no, he's talking about, he misspoke there. That would have been neat. Jim McKinney, during the last half of the show, describes the object or mini solar system coming into ours. It would appear red from a distance and would pick up debris and dust as it comes in. Then it would become not as visible. And he wrote a little note here. He said, is this what David Booth was saying? This is what it's hard to see the object in his vision. Apparently Booth had a vision and he was talking about something that was incoming that was hard to see. He said, Hale-Bopp is a precursor to a much bigger mini solar system object coming in later. Another note, he was thinking, we will start seeing comets coming in from the south, and we have been seeing this for a couple of years. Objects around or in the mini solar system may become comets. Hale-Bopp Companion was a comet. Hubble telescope showed a secondary comet the size of comets that we have been seeing tells us that this mini solar system object is very large. Venus came in as a large comet and spent time moving through our solar system until settling into its orbit. So preparation, he's saying, well, you know, live the lifestyle right now, cut down on things from the store and try to get independent from the system, you know, think about clean water, a food source, 3 months or more, long-term dry goods, you know, not cans, but first aid and nutrition and so forth. But, you know, I think it's, you know, the Hopi store for 7 years. The Mormons were originally told to store for 7 years. And then at the turn of the century, the Mormons cut that down to 3.5 years. And after the turn of the century, it became 2. And now it's, you know, about 20% of them store for a year. And one of the presidents of their church said back around the turn of the century, he said, well, if the Mormons do half right, he said they'll do okay. So I recommend people store grains, stay away from wheat, but spelt, legumes, dry stuff. Stay away from water pack stuff. Get your get your water pack stuff. So you don't have to care because they have to move it. And
get your protein from beans.
Yeah, you can get protein from beans.
Get vitamin C from vegetables.
Right, and you may have to treat your beans so as not to get pellagra. You know, you may have to treat them with wood ash and so forth. And the book everybody ought to have is Nuclear War Survival Skills, and that's on the CD.
What's the name of the book?
Nuclear War Survival Skills by Cresson Kearney. Craigie wrote this book while he was working at Oak Ridge. Craigie was an old infantry officer from, I think, World War II in Korea. He died recently. He'd be 90 by now, but he fought in World War II. But he made six recordings about his expeditions and how he helped formulate a lot of the gear and everything that the Army uses nowadays. And those recordings are on the website at prophecykeepers.com. But his book, Nuclear War Survival Skills, was suppressed by the Clinton administration, but it's available for free, and it's part of the Plastic Keeper CD-ROM series too. It's a, but it carries no copper right now. Everybody ought to have that, because he shows in there how how you can dig in and protect yourself, and how you can build your own radiation meter, and everybody ought to be thinking about potassium iodide right now while it's still available. Because if it isn't available, then you're going to be painting povidine and betadine on your skin and wondering whether you're getting enough, you know, so forth and so on. So anyway, I'd ask you, what you thought about this.
Water,
water, exactly. That's the number one thing.
Methods of water purification.
Yeah, I don't want to do a lot of money, but, you know, I recommend the NATO, the Katadyne NATO filter. It's about $180. And, but, you know, it depends on where you are, and if you don't have a place in the country, you need to find some people to have one, and start thinking about getting out of the cities. I know Bruce Beach from ARC 2, the fellow that built, he's like the largest fallout shelter in the world built up in Ontario out of 26 bus bodies. But he said, you know, he's not the only one to be an alarmist, but he says, hey, get out of Dodge time, you know, with everything that's going on. But when you think about this mini solar system deal, and now Jim Fatale, no slouch. I mean, this guy, I mean, the Russians, they worship everything that comes from his lips. And they really take him seriously. He, like you, he's been a guest on Art Bell umpteen times. And he's the guy that changed the paradigm of thinking about comets. You know, they're not dirty snowballs. And this guy is hard, cutting-edge science. So if he says it, you know, it's getting attention. So, mini solar system. Huh.
Well, I don't know that much about it. I know that the perception of how our solar system moves through the universe has not been told to us correctly. You'd actually be closer to understanding it if you understood the cycles of the Yuga and the Kali Yuga and the ancient Hindu, where our solar system moves through the greater solar system. And we're coming into a place now where, you know, the elders... See, the thing is that, the elders knew this then, because they worked with this. The civilized tribes worked with this. They understood astrology. They understood the cosmos. They understood science. I mean, it's written in the petroglyphs. Why else do you go in the middle of Wyoming and find the structure up on this hill, and you go, what is this? And they go, well, it's an ancient Anasazi thing. Okay, so it's ancient Anasazi. Anasazi means the old ones. It doesn't mean a tribe. There were no Anasazi people. What is this? And they go, it's an observatory. Well, what is the observatory? So they understood this. They understood these cycles, and they understood what would come, and they knew how to project it mathematically. So we're seeing so many things that blow me away as how could these people who were supposed to have been ignorant aboriginals running around with loincloths chasing rabbits and mice, how could they have seen things so accurately so far ahead in the future? The point now is people have to get out of the city. It's that simple. It's no longer a nice little waltz. It's now get the heck out. Because the disease, the containment of the cities, the compounds have already been built. It's already all in place. and the water and lack of water in areas, and it doesn't matter about the water. It can look like there's a lot of water and you can't drink it because it's polluted. You'll get sick, you'll die, you'll get Ebola, you'll be eaten alive from inside from bacteria. So you have to check your water. You have to move to places where there's good water. And another thing, simple thing, go out and invest in a 30-cent bag of seeds from some herbs or something and plant them in the woods. Start planting things all over the place.
Uh-huh.
So that you don't have to rely on the supermarket. Because what are you going to do if there's nothing in the supermarket? And never mind if there is something in the supermarket. It's like, here's a very specific for instance. We now have had this year, because of this bizarre weather and tornadoes and rains and floods and droughts, we've had the entire U.S. crop destroyed, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The entire U.S. crop. Everything is in the fields, and it was new seed, new plant coming up, and the floods came, droughts came, the hurricane came, grapefruit-sized hail. It literally pounded the hell out of this place. So now, what do? We have to go into our grain reserves. Oh, that's nice. You know, I mean, we have grain reserves. Yeah, it's all filled with genetically engineered grain, with polluted grain, with grain that's been tested with biochemicals. It's got prions and pathogens in it. It's, so we're being forced to now go back and eat this poisoned food, okay?
Yep.
We eat this poisoned food, and what they're doing with the supermarket, I mean, everybody's complaining about $2 and $2.20 for a gallon of gasoline. You spent $3.50 for a loaf of bread today. You spent $4.50 for a gallon of milk, which is only going to kill you. It's not milk anymore. So, we have to become self-sufficient. And the only way to become self-sufficient is not to sit there and say, I will stand up against the world.
Mm-mm.
The only way to become self-sufficient is to work in commonality. It's like, hey, listen, I'm going to grow peppers. What are you going to grow? I'll grow zucchini. Oh, okay, what do you do? I'll grow the corn. You can grow grain in your backyard. You can still go out and get one of those little grinders, and you can make your own bread. You can still do that. But you won't be able to soon, and you will literally not be able to eat. You already can't eat. You shouldn't eat 80% of the food that you buy off the shelf in a supermarket.
Oh, yeah.
How many of these things have aspartame in them?
By the way, folks, I don't like little hand crank grinders. If you get something a little bit bigger, do it. those hand crank grinders grind real, they're okay for like corn, but I think they're, and you wouldn't want to be doing that.
You know what I can't find?
Oh, that's right.
Because I'm one of these guys who goes, wait a minute, okay. Is I can't find any more hand grinding coffee machines.
Hmm.
So, like, you know, coffee foods are cheap. I mean, you can go down to a supplier, and you can get 50 pounds of green coffee beans, because it's all the same coffee. I mean, whether it's Starbucks or Maxwell House or Folgers, it's all the same coffee. It's all in the roast.
That's what I've ever seen, for a battery-operated job. And
yeah, no, remember the little ones you used to wind with a crank?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, and you can, you know these old aerated popcorn makers?
Yeah.
Well, I walked into a Starbucks place one day, real story, and I said to the guy, how do I get a small coffee roaster so I can do this? And he looked at me and said, you don't need that. And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, wait a minute. He went to the back and he had one of those, you can buy them at the flea market for $2, you know. One of those old things, you put the popcorn in and the air pops up and the popcorn pops out. And he said, this is the same principle that we use in the roasters. So you can go down and you can buy 50 pounds of coffee for like, you know, $1.20 a pound. And you can roast your own coffee, you know, but you've got to have the grinder.
Yeah.
For the beans. It's not like, you know, we've got to start thinking in simple ways. And the only way to really get, I think the lesson that we're going to get with what's coming is we're going to have to work together. If we don't want to work together, because, you know, Thomas Banyak is not out there getting his messages of love anymore. and she catches isn't running around telling people we have to get together instead of separating. They didn't want to listen to those voices, you know. Then we're going to, life experience is going to force us into working the commonality.
Absolutely.
The only way we're going to survive. It takes too much to run a horse ranch all by yourself.
Oh, yeah. That's why I keep telling you, you move here. Because we got the goat. You know, the goat.
You get your feet on the horses and do anything about
it. We got a major cow.
It all just went dry. I mean, all the
water. Oh, yeah.
The area that I'm in New Mexico, they have so many wells dry. Last year, they got 220 wells go dry.
We don't have that problem here in the Ozark. We have 14 of the 15 largest springs in the world. And, by the way, folks, about the grain mills, there's one out there that says it's a hand crank. Well, you don't want it. The one you want is at survivalcenter.com. And they're a great outfit. They're concerned about planetary changes and, you know, Planet X and so forth. But survivalcenter.com, and just look down for grain mills. And it's a substantial grain mill. It's not one of these $50 ones. It's a $300 one. But this sucker has a flywheel. The momentum will help you grind the stuff. It's a burn mill. I don't like burn mills. I like stone mills. But, you know, if you get my CDs, there's information on there about how to store and generate electricity on it. But in a pinch, this thing will work. It'll make good enough flour so you can make your bread. But you need something substantial, and, you know, for $300, it'll save your life. So anyway, back to you. I'm sorry, I didn't interrupt.
That's okay. I was just wondering what they do when their electric stove doesn't work.
Yeah, really. Well,
building kilns out in the backyard.
Yeah, solar ovens are great.
Cooking tortillas the old way.
Solar ovens are great for, you know, cooking your meat and just plain, you know, you make a fire, let the ashes burn down, and throw the meat right on the fire. They're called Tarzan steaks, and if you've never eaten one, you don't know what you've missed.
I'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
It's the little yellow pill that scientists say could eliminate chronic diseases and help you live well into your hundreds.
You might be able to increase the lifespan of a mammal by 50%. And, of course, if that was a human being, then that might be in the order of 130 to 150 years.
That claim might be hard to swallow, but tonight on ABC's Primetime Live, co-anchor John Quinones takes the promising antioxidant therapy called Protandim.
I have become a guinea pig for ABC News and Primetime. It's not a drug. It's a supplement. It's called Protandim, and it's a combination of five exotic plants that have been around for centuries. Have you discovered the fountain of youth?
I wouldn't put it that way, but we may have discovered something that will tell us a lot more about how we age, what happens biochemically, and maybe how we can slow it down.
Quinones has been taking Protandim for 2 weeks now and tells Extra,
I am sleeping better, I feel a lot better, and also energized when I do wake up.
Primetime puts Protandim to the test tonight.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
You cook it on.
Are you sure you're eating black Angus? You're not eating cow.
Well, it doesn't matter. You know, you just. Well, yeah, really. You know,
you go to the supermarket. They buy chopped meat. They buy steaks. They buy New York cut. They look at the title of the style of the cut, but they're eating cow.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You're not supposed to eat cow.
But the
eat steer. I mean.
Oh yeah.
Isn't there a difference between a cow and a steer?
Yeah. It's a difference in hormones. But you let your campfire, it may take several hours, let the campfire burn down to where you just have glowing embers and none of them are bigger than maybe an inch or so. Mix them all around and you just take your meat and lay it right on the coals. And you wait till the blood starts bubbling up from through the meat, and then at that time you turn it. And then you do that again, and then you've got, you know, medium well done meat. And it's wonderful. It's just great. It's cooked enough to, good to eat, and lots of other ways to cook. You know, Dutch ovens would be real nice. I kind of recommend folks, instead of thinking about living like Indians, to go on the mountain man route, because it's not no technology. It's low technology. You've got you know,
you can't find mountain men.
Yeah, Yeah, and as a matter of fact, one of the ebooks on my CD-ROM set is how to cook with Dutch ovens. And we had a little bit of investment, but you know, it's not such a psychological leap. At least you have something around you that's kind of like what you had at home. And the Dutch ovens and cast iron cookware last for generations. You know, you don't have to wash it. When you're done cooking in it, you let the grease cool. You throw some sand or dirt in it. You use that to scour the surface, and you take it down to the creek or wherever in a water source and just wash it out and cook with it again.
Well, see, that whole thing also brings us to a very simple way of living in commonality. Do you ever grow tomatoes in your garden?
Well, we got them.
How many did you have to give away?
Oh, most of them, yeah. My wife, actually, we didn't have a place for a garden, so we bought 15 or 20 of these storage bins, like you get, you know, for storing stuff in your closet. And we put 3 cubic feet or one bag of potting soil. It cost about $7.50 in each one. And she's planted everything from tomatoes to, you know, carrots to you know what. And, you know, it's like having raised beds. But see, we don't know if we may have to move. I mean, this way, if we have to move, you know, we can take them, literally take the garden with us.
So is this closet farming?
No, it's out on the front porch.
Front porch farming.
Yeah, front porch farming. We just use those Rubbermaid storage bins, like you can get at Walmart, or the ones we chose are clear, so you can kind of see the water content of the soil, so you know when things are getting dry.
So, you know, that was always one of the amazing things that I saw when I traveled through Europe and through the Far East, was that wherever there were people living, there wasn't a square foot of ground that was not utilized.
Uh-uh.
I mean, they planted olive trees, they planted grapes, they planted tomatoes, they planted something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it wasn't just this barren, dead field, because we have fallen asleep. We have fallen asleep, and everything that we are about is dependent upon a system that might very well not be here within a very short period of time.
Well, there's a lot of people that will starve rather than eat the weeds that are growing in their yard. And I picked up a book years ago called How to Survive a Famine, and, you know, out there in Utah, and I don't even know where we can get it now. It might have been self-published, but it literally, the message was, hey, you know, get yourself a 55-gallon drum, fill it with good vegetable oil. I'm not talking about canola, folks. Get something like peanut oil, spend some money. But there isn't a weed out there that you can't cook up in vegetable oil, and it will keep you alive. You know, you'll lose weight, but you'll gain muscle because you'll be eating greens and you'll be strong. And you will, you know, people that are living in cities or small towns, you know, they may literally tear up the roads and plant gardens. And, you know, good ideas, but, you know, they're not palatable unless you cook them in something. So, you know, get stuff from cooking oil.
The problem with city living is most of them have no choice but to go to the store and buy food.
Well, there won't be any store.
The food that they're getting is filled with pathogens, it's filled with all sorts of false sugars, aspartame, which causes tumors the size of grapefruit to grow in your brain. It causes Alzheimer's disease. It's a very deadly thing. And then they have all these preservatives and everything in them, and the nutritional value of the food is like nil. It's like you're just eating fill. You're eating, as the Romans said, cereal and bread, okay? And there's no nutrition in that. Their immune systems are shot, and they're all bloated, and the reason why they're all bloated is because they have tremendous candida infections.
Oh, yeah, that's me.
And they're sitting there, and they don't have enough energy to walk across the bean field. And when these diseases, they're already at pandemic level, they already turned people away from the emergency rooms in the hospitals. I'm involved, as you know, with a lot of doctors in hospitals. And, you know, they keep coming to me with, you know, what is the secret that the native people have? I said, what do you mean? I said, they're all bloated and wet because you're feeding bologna and candy. I said, you know, what do you mean the secret? You know, but the secret is, I like what you said about the mountain peoples. Just becoming self-sufficient. But self-sufficient doesn't mean you become isolated.
He wouldn't survive that way.
It's like you grow one thing, you grow another thing, and we'll all make it through. If somebody's got water, we have to share water. Wells are going dry. Like I said, there's 200 wells out here in the East Mountains, south of Santa Fe, that have gone dry. The water's gone. When you drive down the road, 60% of the trees are dead. Now, that makes a tremendous fire hazard because the cedar down here is not like the cedar up in Canada. The cedar down here is all turpentine.
Mm-hmm.
When these things go, and it could be a lightning flash, it could be anything, or some idiot from the city that drives out and throws a cigarette butt to the ground, and you'll have a fire that'll spread a mile every second. I mean, when these things move, they're like, the heat is greater than 2,500 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
And they move at such a velocity, you can actually hear them moving across the prairie. And the desert is just a dry prairie. That's all the desert is. So, you know, people have to start thinking in terms of that. Not thinking in terms of survival. It's called practical sense. Plus, if you have all of this food, think of the money you'll save going to the supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you have to spend $2.99 a pound for buying rice and tomatoes?
I don't know.
You can eat the other stuff, but it's only black paper.
Well, you know, the tomatoes, you need carrots, you need turnips, you need potatoes, you need rutabagas. That's the stuff that you're going to live. You know, the Irish lived off of potatoes. You got to have something that's going to keep you fuller.
Tubers.
Games are not always going to be available.
You get everything you need out of tubers.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, you can live in a cave, if need be, without sunlight and sprout. Eating sprouts got everything you need.
I'd like to take a minute and talk about this Yellowstone thing.
Yeah.
Wanna do that?
You betcha.
Everybody's talking about, you know, the shock and awe and fear, but there's gonna be the super volcano. It's gonna blow up. Okay. I sent you a while, there's two more. There were 12 thunders, but I sent you the 9th thunder, which is about the volcano that's building up in Roan Valley, California. When you look at the satellite maps, the infrared and the heat sensing maps, and you look along the coast, remember that the prophecies of the volcanoes first came to us as, you know, along the spine of the turtle, and the tail of the turtle will break. When the tail of the turtle breaks, Popo will explode. There's a volcano under Popo, okay?
Uh-huh.
It's like a double volcano.
Uh-huh.
When Popo explodes, it'll expose the other volcano. The other volcano will grow. It will devastate, and it will break the tail of the turtle, and then it will move up the spine of the turtle. But when you look at these satellite maps, all the way from Guatemala, all the way up to Alaska is the hottest area. And then it goes, there's a little spur that goes out sort of into Utah. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And it heads over toward Wyoming. If you look at that little spur on these maps, well, they come right from Long Valley, California. That's that underground chism that is a shelf of basalt through which they have already moved nuclear submarines from San Francisco almost right up to Denver. Okay?
Uh-huh.
I mean, this stuff is a scientific fact. It's already happened. So it's not just some crazy guys from a sweat lodge coming up and telling me we see this. Okay, well, there's this giant vein that moves up and through there, and it's red hot, okay? Long Valley is growing at such a rate, and it's in that spine of the turtle. When this thing breaks, it causes all sorts of things to block and everything else along the Cascades and going all the way down into Mexico, which is where the volcanic destruction comes from the flow of the magma.
Mm-hmm.
Not from the flow of the magma. As long as you have small earthquakes, you're getting relief. As long as you're seeing new geysers coming up, getting relief, okay? When they talk about this super volcano in Yellowstone, and I've talked to a lot of different elders from the Mayans to the Hopi to the Athabascan people up in Alaska, and nobody sees this happening. Scientifically speaking, the Caldera is 50 miles by 60 miles. how big the caldera is. So if this thing blew up into a super volcano, it would be the end of days.
There'd
be no more life on the planet anywhere.
Recently, archaeologists said that it deposited 9 feet of ash in western Nebraska and about 7 inches of ash on Long Island. And now,
what deposited that?
That when it exploded 500,000 years ago.
Right.
And interesting thing, though, it's not on the net now, but it has been has not been for over a year. But the Shoshone Bannocks had a prophecy about a 26,000. They said it was going to be a 26,000-foot tall volcano that members of their tribe had seen in vision for Idaho. And they live in Idaho. It was a Shoban. It was a Shoban prophecy, and I didn't grab it and copy it, and it was gone. And I've written some friends out in Utah, and they don't have it now. But it was definitely being talked about a couple of years ago. Very, very large, but a tall volcano.
So right now we're seeing something developing up in the Wyoming area on the west side of the Missouri River.
Mm-hmm.
And on the east side of the Rockies, and there's a giant fault over there. And that fault could very well develop into a new mountain range.
Yeah. Well, there's
the tectonic plates move in because of the pressure, and there's no relief there, and there's a lot of granite, okay? But it's not old granite, it's new granite.
Mm-hmm.
That the shelf I'm talking about is old granite, so it's like hard steel versus soft metal.
Mm-hmm.
And when the plates move in, this ridge has no other choice but to move straight up, okay? And it goes several, I think it's even a couple hundred miles long. Well, when this fault moves and that earthquake happens in the middle, there's an earthquake that's going to happen. What's going to happen to Yellowstone is going to cause a great earthquake. It's not going to cause a super volcano. We know that life goes on, right?
Well, I left some always
back to the old prophecies. We know that life goes on.
Oh yeah.
So if this thing turned into the super volcano, blew up, it would literally mean the end of life on Earth. Okay.
Well,
you know that's not going to happen. So what is the alternative? What's building up? What'll happen? You're going to get these massive earthquakes on those flat plains in Wyoming and Montana. And what happens on a flat plain when you get an earthquake? It's like flipping a towel.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the flip is the strongest point.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the flip, it's going to be up in the northern regions of Wyoming and southern Montana, and that's where this mountain range is going to come up.
Well, I always look for things to begin in the northwest or in the intermountain range because the Mormons originally had a good, valid message, but they have so far screwed it up, it's amazing. But the prophecy in the Book of Mormon says that when the scourge comes, it says that upon my house, and they've always considered themselves the house of Israel, because upon my house it shall begin, and from my house it shall go forth. So when, whether the scourge is, there have been some visions back in the 1880s about a purplish blotch under the skin that the people, in the vision somebody saw, like ash falling out of the sky, and then this purplish blotch, it sounds a lot like beta burns, from radioactivity, or it could be, that's what you get when you get radiation sickness if you're not underground, but the scourge could be volcanic, it could be, but the scientists, the volcanologists and the ice core people have gotten together and figured out independently, and then they got together accidentally later on, but they figured out there was a big volcanic explosion about 50,000 years in Indonesia, and this thing, the DNA people knew that at some point during that period of time, there was 50,000 or less people in the world after this explosion. And the ice core people figured out that from the ash in the ice core during that same time that there had been a big, huge explosion. So, it could be that bad. It could take the Earth back to where there's You know, way, but this would be way less people than the guys that have the meat line fossil. You know, they want to get us back to half a billion. Well, you know, we're talking about a tenth of that. And, you know, if nature really takes over, it starts over again. And,
Right now we're involved in what I've called now for 20 years, the war of value life.
Yeah.
And what we're seeing is all these diseases and all this cancer. It's almost like our very cells are making war against us.
Mm-hmm. Well, my life.
Nature, the elementals have been ignored. The natural processes of nature are ignored. And she is in total rebellion. You know, the storing of food in my own personal belief is you can store some basic things, yeah. You know, people don't store things. You can't store wheat for 20 years of it. It'll grow a fungus. It'll get moldy. And especially with these people who, you know, went out, there were all these people building underground sanctuaries.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, most of them today are flooded out, that everything's rotten. You know, dry goods are good. Yeah, you can do it for a period of time. But what's going to be really important is our ability to forage, okay?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so what's happening is in the forest, because of these stinking chemtrails and things that don't exist, right? Nobody's doing it, but every day I walk out here and I look at, you know, 85 chemtrails from Albuquerque to Santa Fe over the sky, and I'm going, you know, and they just keep going.
Yeah.
So somebody's doing something. I don't know who's doing it, but nobody's doing it, you know.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
It is so great to have our friend Marie Osmond back here on GMA, and she has some important information about making sure your family is prepared for natural disaster. She's the new national spokesperson for Wise Company, which makes dehydrated and freeze-dried emergency foods and food storage products. She's here to tell us about that. Marie, you've been given the opportunity to endorse probably 9 billion things over the course of your career.
True.
Why the Wise Company?
The reason I wanted to do it is because it's affordable. You can eat a meal for a dollar. It's less than school lunch. It's affordable, but really, look at what's been going on with Sandy and Katrina. I mean, what was it, $78 billion of damage done just here in New York and
right.
New Jersey.
So what is this?
What it is it's emergency meals. And, you know, it's not your grandmother's kind, not the beans and rice and the gross chicken-tasting
right.
garbage. This is lasagna and really good stuff. And I swear to you, why am I here talking about this? Because I know it's going to save thousands and thousands and thousands of lives. You put it under your bed. It's convenient. Stick it in your closet. If something happens, I have it in my car. All you do is you open it and you add water. You don't even have to add hot water.
Right.
And it's affordable. It's convenient. It tastes really good. Taste the peaches. They're fantastic.
This is a peach?
But they're different than every other company because it's like dehydrated. And freeze-dried, and they combine whatever. I swear it's fantastic. Just try it.
I'm trying it right now, Marie
Osmond.
Put it
under your bed, put it in your closet, give it for Christmas to people, and save lives.
Thank you very much. Will you tell Donnie that we said we hope his rear feels better?
Well, you know, it's kind of a bummer, but I'll tell him.
No, Marie Osmond, great having you on.
It's
the Wise
so fun
Company.
To be here.
Great to be with you.
It's always fun to be here. This is a great place.
All right.
Friends, this is Will Bluewater. If you'd like to find out more about Wise Foods, visit wisefoods.org.
That's what the two elders taught me. And, you know, that goes back to what Jesus says. If you thought it in your mind, you've already done it.
You committed the act.
And then they laugh. Then the people laugh when the elders tell the world that, oh, that's stupid. That's, you know, you're a fraud. You know, I suspect you'd be a fraud along with these 20 other people. And then they always, if they can get away with it, they always accuse you of being a sex criminal or suspected to be one. And it's just so funny. Oh, jeez.
So that's when everybody else gets blamed for the same story.
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
Isn't it? It's like a Zodiac copy. You know?
Yeah, they went after Clifford Alford, and they've gone after about everybody you can imagine. And, you know, not that some of our teachers, folks, you need to understand that when you work in this kind of spiritual work, you get attacked. And you know, a couple of our teachers, and I'm not going to say their names, and, you know, and Ghost Wolf knows who they are, because, you know, I knew one of them, and Ghost Wolf knew both of them, but they both had problems with sexual urges. And it was it caused a lot of chaos in their families. And, you know, they like women. And, you know, if you're going to be...
There's nothing wrong with that, but one thing's got to be separated from the other.
Yeah.
And it's very wrong.
If you're married to one, you know.
Just use that energy because, you know, the first thing that opens up in any person, in any ceremonial thing, is the first seal, which is where the procreation urges come from.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing is to move that up. You ceremonial people are almost like Grandfather Frank. You have to get out of your body, get out of your way for this thing to come through.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to learn for many years how to go to that other place to get out of your own way.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was never you doing anything. It was always Great Mystery doing something.
Mm-hmm.
You could, at best, be a vehicle. So, what naturally happens if you're in that place, okay, is you don't have those urges because you're just not there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you're just literally not there, you know, and that's a terrible thing.
But I've noticed that a lot of men, as they get, become ill, as these two men did, you know, that this came to the forefront in their lives, and it may have been just a way of, you know, they knew they were on the way out, and maybe they, it was a way of feeling more alive, and because it was like we were talking earlier. I mean, you know, Mad Bear. And, you know, these guys were sick. They took a lot of illness upon themselves. A lot of these elders...
It sounds like Mad Bear and Rolling Thunder. It takes a lot of energy to make your pack of cigarettes move from your house into the car.
Oh, yeah. 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 Sun Bears, too. You know, they all became ill and all died. And you know, people forget that these people are human. And, you know,
Well, they iconized them.
Yeah.
Iconos.
Yeah, that's not right.
They turn into these icons. They turn into this bigger than life. They're just people. You know, the spiritual thing is with us sometimes, and sometimes we're just ordinary men. And you know, there's always a preparation before you go to any ceremony.
Like, sure.
You know, I mean, I always go through 3 or 4 days of fasting and purification before I work with people. I don't do public things anymore.
Are you going to go up to that friend of that Benny, all this guy? Sure, it's just showing me fellow that Benny, it's more than that, it's like a ceremony, it's not a friend of that, it's a medicine wheel ceremony. The center of which is going to be, in Montana, and they're going to be running ceremonies as far east as the Missouri Valley, and I can't remember his name right now. His first name is Benny. But it's a great medicine wheel ceremony. That's going to be within the next...
I heard about that, but I have no call to go to that. You know, I think right now it's time for people to do things at home.
Yeah, that's where I felt that.
I think it's time for us to come back to the family heart and to in our house, because there's a big storm coming, and it's not a pretty one. It's not a pretty one at all. I wish I could say nice things. I think the outcome will be very pretty, but what we're all of us, no matter who you are or where you come from, are going to go through. And you know, the easiest way to figure out that your prejudices are nothing but bullshit is to take a look at the eyes of any child that's suffering. You don't see race and color.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see that. You don't see differences in philosophy. All you see is a child suffering. And I think that's the way Picasso looks at things.
Mm-hmm.
I think that way. We're just children, you know? And some of us are wayward children. But ourselves, you know. For so many generations, Bill, it was here upon this land, and we had these great ceremonies, and things happened all the time, and we lived in paradise and the whole thing. But, you know, we have now coming through a point where we have to generate it on our own, and we have to remember the teachings of the wise ones, you know, whether it's the Ganymede, whether it's the Pale Prophet, whether it's the Komatete, whether it's Buddha, whether it's Jesus. It doesn't matter who you call these masters. They always taught us compassion, and that's something that we need now, is compassion. You know, we're so quick to judge everything. We're so quick to criticize everything. And we forget that we're human. And compassion is the magic thing that will get us through all of this. A mother can say to the child, I don't approve of what you do, but she's always the child's mother. We have to remember those things now, because we're coming into a great storm, a great and dark storm. It's not going to be pretty. There's going to be millions and millions of people sick.
Yeah.
Thousands of people dying. Great dying has already begun.
That ceremony I was telling you about, it's www.teton-rainbows.com. Doing over there, it was the Eastern Shoshone, and I find it interesting. They held the giant medicine wheel ceremony on May 8th, and they're holding a sun dance on July 5th. Now, May 8th, that was 7 years. That is the very week that was 7 years from the time the Hale-Bopp disappeared from sight out of the Northern Hemisphere. Then he had something figured out there. Dude, that he was listening to Art Bell 7 years ago. The medicine wheel ceremony, the hub was in the Tetons, but they had satellite ceremonies going on all over North America. Yeah, and the Sundance is going to be in looks like 25 miles north of Jackson, Wyoming. Wyoming is the Jackson, Grand Tetons, Wyoming's Red Creek.
So who's that? The Cheyenne country?
Northern. Shoshone, Eastern Shoshone. Yeah, the Wind River is in, that's probably Eastern Shoshone country.
There's another thing that most people don't understand. When you go in and use this major ceremony stuff, you ask permission. You never do it unless you're granted permission.
Yeah. Well, he's been
I mean, when I did my ceremonies, I had to ask where I was.
Yeah.
When I did my ceremonies up in Canada, I had to ask the black people. I had to ask the whoever was in that area and let them know what I was doing. You don't just go in there and impose yourself on it. That's Washuji thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like you just don't go and build a camp somewhere. You have to know that it's okay to be there, you know.
But he had traveled for more than a year. He'd been on the road, constantly doing this. So he probably did it in a good way.
We'll see what happens out of the ceremony.
Yeah, well, some good things to come out of the big medicine bill ceremony, and got a lot of people thinking about what's going on.
If it brings people together, then it's good.
Yeah, and from all the feedback I've got, everybody's pretty happy with what happened. But it's the Teton-Rainbow.com. Hey, tell folks about about your websites. Where are they?
Oh, you just go to www.robertghostworld.com.
Yeah, all run together. And
www.robertghostworld.com. And then, or you go to www.wolflodge.org.
Right.
Wolf Lodge is it's a different kind of a site. Wolf Lodge is a Mete site. It's for Metes. And what I talk about on there is got to do with Metes and people who share. It's on there.
You took that up in what, late 98? 97, right?
96.
Right after I put mine up, I think. I put mine up in September, and here's what I
should have.
When was it?
1996.
Yeah. It was
last century.
Yeah, it seems like it. Last century, isn't that the truth? Well, sorry to have a simple stroke. The leaf mold concerns my body. The only downside really in the Ozarks is a little bit of, especially this time of year after the rain. But
you're getting rain.
Well, what I got to do is I got to get a source for local honey, because if you get a source for local honey, then eat a tablespoon of that a day, then you ingest all the local pollens and everything, and I wouldn't have a problem. I just been too lazy to busy to do it. So you can, we have, this is such a neat place. There's a co-op here nearby. We get our eggs delivered, fresh eggs. If you've never had farm fresh eggs, you haven't lived. And the organic chickens. They actually stand up, and you can sure tell the difference. And we get right, and the same chickens that produce the eggs, they're organic chickens, and we buy them from the guy that gives us our eggs. And I think we bought 10 of them and got them in the freezer. And this is just a really neat area. The water and the weather here is great. One of our friends researched this particular area about 70 miles east of Springfield and found out that it doesn't have the tornadoes and doesn't have the weather that they'll have, say, in Springfield, or they'll have 50 miles in any direction. It's such a really nice area. It's Booger County. Texas, Douglas, Ozark County. And my wife and I went down and picked blueberries, this huge farm, a big blueberry farm. We went down and picked a couple of gallons of, my back gave out after a while, so I sat on the ground and sorted while she picked. And then I discovered that as I was sitting there, I could pick the blueberry across the bottom of the bushes because the vegetables was down there because everybody else was picking on the top. So. But I always thought
the big juicy ones hide in the shade.
Yeah, and the laws here are, if a man can't feed his family, you can legally take the legal limit of deer, one deer a day. And there's no zoning here. Well, there is zoning, but the county's told the state, if you want us to have zoning down here, you can pay for the local office and the personnel, and they said no thanks. So, you don't need, you can want to have a lagoon instead of a, septic system, you can, anything goes down here. The folks are just the salt of the earth. And, we go to a local restaurant, and it's really interesting to sit and listen to conversation, and, about a third of the time you can overhear conversations about prophecy at the local restaurant. It's really interesting. Good folks here in this little town. It's called Kabul. And, it was named that. It's really interesting, in L. Taylor Hansen's book, He Walked the Americas, the symbol of the T that was in the hand of the healer was called the hand Kabul. And supposedly this town was named after an Indian chief named Kabul. And of course that symbol of the hand was literally left all over North and South America. So this might be one of those places. Kind of wonder about it. Yeah, we're looking forward to... Well, you got to come out and get a horse and come pay us a visit here.
Oh, I got two horses there.
Yeah, that's right.
I just have to get there to Appaloosa.
Yeah, you have to come out to tell you.
I'll get them and ride down to your place.
Yeah, is she on the horn yet?
Oh, she's still at the store. We have the beef store in Atlanta. And the store over here in Santa Fe isn't here anymore because they built the freeway over it.
Oh, is that right?
But it just came in one day and said, well, property's condemned.
Oh, you're kidding.
But they did that with a lot of businesses. And now you have a freeway so they can bring more people from the city escaping. I don't know where they go.
So you got a store in Atlanta?
Yeah, huh. A store in Atlanta. It's one of the oldest, biggest beef stores in Atlanta. It's not just it's almost like a gallery in a museum. I mean, we have beef there from all over the world, and we have some of the very old trade beefs. I mean, it's an amazing business. And, Shoshana, and her mom is funny, and she is and has been the cultural advisor on many movies, from Dances with Wolves to Lakota Woman to this new one that just came out, Dream Catcher.
Hmm.
That's been on. So mom does all of that, which is how I got to meet Russell Means.
Is that Shoshana Fastball?
Pardon me?
Is she going by Shoshana Fatwolf?
No, she's just Shoshana.
Okay.
Shoshana is a very old term that in Navajo means ring around the moon. You get that blue ring around the moon, just like a white circle around the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Circle around it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's what Shoshana means.
How are we doing? What's so speed, huh?
Anyway, so yeah, we've been doing this for a long time, man.
So she at Shoshana.com?
No, she
doesn't have a website.
No, over the place because of the work that she does in the medical field.
Did you ever meet Jim Gillihan? Jim, they have a... The Red Bead Society was founded by Jim.
David Square is Bazinga's a piece.
Oh, is that what it is, Bazinga's a piece?
If we talk about the story and not get the name, I'm just going to get mad.
Bazinga's a piece, okay. But Jim, you're talking about people that had the faith. There's a one of our guests that we interviewed about a month or so ago was Dottie Daigle. And they're gathering right now over in Southern Illinois, it begins tomorrow, actually. Jim Gillihan was given Sitting Bull's pipe by Frank Foolscrow. Jim had, if you're on the internet, you can look this up, Jim, and the last name is spelled Gillihin. And you'll see a tribute to Jim Gillihan. Now, here's a guy that he lost, I think, a kidney and one lung. Fool's Crow sent a couple of guys over to do ceremony. And within like 10 days, he had absolutely no cancer at all. And he passed away June 2nd, 2002. But because of his faith to heal himself, he was given a symbol pipe to carry for a while.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
There is a growing movement of people who are deciding to make their lives better. At LifeVantage, we're in the business of change, of improving quality of life globally and restoring the ability to make dreams a reality. Your quest for personal fulfillment begins here. Our flagship product, Protandem, the Nrf2 Synergizer, is the key to fighting oxidative stress. This daily supplement, comprised of natural ingredients, activates the body's antioxidant enzymes to eliminate free radicals, which cause oxidative stress. Protandem has been tested in the laboratories of renowned universities, such as The Ohio State University, LSU, and the University of Colorado, Denver. These studies found on PubMed.gov, the U.S. government's online scientific library, clinically show that Protandem reduces oxidative stress.
When I saw that Protandem reduces oxidative stress by 40% in 30 days, I was all in for the rest of my life.
Everyone begs us for science as an industry. Where's your proof? Well, we have that also.
LifeVantage is devoted to advancing Nrf2 science and leading the fight against oxidative stress.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
Everybody's in denial about it, but the diseases that are coming as a result of it, we've already done testing on the chemicals that come out of it. It's a very, it's in the policy of the government of official denial. But everybody, no matter where they go, can see these hundreds and hundreds of chemtrails across everywhere. They're not just here now. They're in Europe, they're in Australia, they're over Hawaii. And everybody's getting respiratory illnesses. We know that they have barium, aluminum, and other metal things in the compounds. We know that we have found influenza, and we've even found human blood cells in it. Okay, why is that? Explain that. Okay. The thing is, when I spoke earlier about going out and buying a 30-cent bag of seeds and just planting it.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be very important because the most of the herbs that we used to be able to go out just a couple of years ago and pick to help everything from toothaches to tuberculosis to stomach flu to diarrhea to headaches to infections, you know, you can't harvest anymore. They're not there. They're literally not there.
Yeah.
Keep blaming that on the cattle. That's as stupid as blaming Brucellus on the buffalo, but they killed 5,000 buffalo in Yellowstone. And two buffalo had the Brucellus virus in them out of all of those buffalo.
The
Brucellus is in the cows, it's in the deer, it's in the elk, it's not in the buffalo. The buffalo are immune to it.
The ancient wheat, and it's, you know, a lot of people can't tolerate wheat, and a lot of people get fibromyalgia from wheat, but salt.
Because they're allergic to gluten. They're allergic to the gluten.
So, you know, we recommend salt.
All
that you
have to go to is to rye, the barley.
Yeah, and the ancient salt, too, is good. That's good stuff, and it's available now in large enough numbers that, I think it's only been about 10 years that, you know, they discovered this ancient, it's in Syria somewhere, you know, it's the ancient grain, and people have messed around with it genetically, you know, through the years, and now we have wheat as we know it, and which is going away from rust and all kinds of stuff. And,
so, do you remember the old Hopi story that Thomas Bayanka used to tell about the Kachinas came down and they gave us the four sacred grains? They came down and they gave us corn, barley, rice, and millet.
Well, there you go.
And they gave it to us, and they said to us that all you had to do is take one little pouch and carry this with you, and wherever you went, that the conditions were good, was plant these seeds. And then wherever you walked along that path, you would always have enough food to feed people, because from one small handful, you could feed a tribe.
Okay?
They're going to have to go into, besides it's healthier for us.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have to start thinking in those terms. And if we think about it before it's too late, you know, it's like, well, what happened with 9/11? The military didn't know until 6 minutes before everything was going to happen. That there was something going on, and all the reports they got, well, how could they have response time? So why wait until it gets that bad? It's already bad.
It's
going to get worse. I guarantee it's going
to
get worse.
Bush has already said, you know, this is going to be a summer of terror, you know, so.
So you notice that there's no play on what happened to the crops. I made a statement on it. But the fact of the matter is, all of that severe weather was in the grain growing state. The crops were annihilated.
Yeah.
So,
you know, Joseph Smith made the statement. I mean, this is one of the reasons why Mormons do it. He said that it would not be because of lack of seed time or harvest, but that would cause the famine. You know, that sounds like disease to me.
Well, where is the population concentrated in cities?
All along the coast.
People who live in the country, who live in the mountains, know that, oh, I don't eat that. You don't want to eat that, you're going to get those 6 hours coming.
Yeah.
People come out to the city. Their kids there just don't think the chickens grow in plastic bags. And, you know, they really do, you know. Nobody bakes bread. It always, you know, there's a tree that grows bread in a plastic bag with bread, yellow, blue, and balloons on it. You know? And they just come out, they're ravenous, they're hungry, they don't know anything. They're going to maraud everywhere. They're literally, they already are. I mean, over here in New Mexico, years ago, I remember everybody always never locked their doors. You always had a coffee pot and stuff inside your house, or a friend go by your ranch. They could come in and sort of make themselves at home to you. Today, everybody's got iron bars and things like that, barbed wire fences and alarm systems and all sorts of stuff all over the place. They're ripping off horses, they're ripping off cows. I mean, they're ripping off horses in the middle of the night, okay? And they're breaking into houses. You know, these new kids don't... I think that God starts with a D, and it's called the drug lord. They don't have any values. They have absolutely no values. So we talk about what's going on over in the Middle East. Well, the kids here are not that much better because there's no guidance.
Yeah.
They don't respect their elders because their elders have lied to them.
Oh, and the most recent generation of Native Americans. I can't believe the crap that's out there. I mean, there's this one gal that's got this website, and I can't remember what her name was, but, you know, she puts up the names of people that she suspects of being frauds. You know, that's just suspect, you know.
But she's a moral vigilante.
Well, it claims to be a Cherokee, but she's not. But when the Kasua Nighthawk elders clarify, you know, exactly what's what and what isn't, this she turns that around and tries to, oh, well, that's because those elders they're just frauds, too. You know, and this kind of stuff goes on. Nobody listens to the elders about anything. They would rather sort of hate and point fingers and all this other kind of stuff. And it's
just that's people's own fault, though. They've got to resource the source. Anybody can get up and write things about anybody. You know about that firsthand. And the thing is, you know, most of it is a bunch of crap. I have a bunch of guys living in the trailer shooting drugs and drinking beer. And they put up a website and they're these self-righteous assholes. Excuse me, I'm not supposed to say that on the air. But that's what they are. They don't come from anywhere. They don't represent the elders. They don't represent the spiritual elders. They're just up there making statements. They're no different than terrorists. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. Okay, they put stuff up about you, and it's not even your website that they're directing people to because they got the wrong address.
That's
like, you know, that's called gossip.
You remember that? Yeah, that's right. You remember the sit-in up at Pine Ridge for years back, and they established the Lakota Oyate?
Yeah.
Under Chief Red Cloud. And I called and talked with him a couple of years ago because the Lakota Oyate put up a website, and I told him about the website. He says, "Huh? We got a website?" I said, "Yeah." And he wants to know who's doing that. He says, "Number one, they disbanded it." And he says, "They don't have permission to do that." He says, "We're really elders." He says, "Who's doing this?" You know, and then they come on, they're blasting it. You know, they're trying to make the rules about, well, you read these people books, but don't read Ed McGaw stuff, and don't read Ghost Wolves, and this, that, and the other, and then they make law on anybody that's using their spirit, you know.
Thing about that.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know that I've done literally hundreds of radio shows.
Oh, yeah.
I did 37 Art Bell shows. Every show began with my saying, "I am a Mete." I never said I was a Native American.
Mm-hmm.
That was the propaganda, you know, with the theme song and everything. I every time I hear that theme song, I have nightmares on. But it's like, it's all there on record. All this stuff is on record. What we're talking about here is that, number one, most people don't understand how the social laws work with the Native people.
Yeah.
They have no idea. They only read about things that happen in books or seen movies. And you can't get away with the shit that people say people are getting away with.
Well, number one, AIM is mostly responsible for this, and they're coming from anger, they're coming from activism. But the AIM people themselves were city Indians, and when they showed up on Leonard Crowdog's father's doorstep years ago, he said, "Well, You know, when's the last time you've been to a sweat lodge?" And they said, "What's a sweat lodge?" You know, and he says, "Well, you know, go get purified and come back and maybe I'll talk to you." And now it's these people, and the renegades, and I'm not talking
about one that I know that,
you know, it's
has come through all the years, it's come through pretty strong at Dennis Banks.
Yeah, and but you've got a million renegades out there they claim to be AIM, a million factions, and everybody's pointing fingers back and forth and declaring a war on each other. And, you know, the Hopi elders finally came out and said, "Hey, you know, lose the word struggle from your vocabulary. You know, just get out, you know, it's like a river, you know, get out of the, let go of the bank, get out in the middle of the river, and just keep your head above water." And if you listen to the interview with Chick Hush, you know, she explains how after 30 years of being absent from Hopi, she went out there and waited for several days, and she was waiting in the wrong place, and finally somebody pulled her in and said, well, the elder's not going to come to you if you're sitting here at Moscow. You need to be over to Hawaii. So she moved over there, and after the sun came up here, they come shuffling around the corner and give her the message. And then they, yeah, I listened to it, and then they punctuated it, the tenth point that they made was, is, and he clapped his hands, now would be a good time, and that was over 10 years ago.
My first elder was Fool's Crow. The Fool's Crow said that anybody who comes to me with an open heart and needs a little knowledge and asks in a respectful way, I will share what I know. And I've not seen very many people who can come near Rev. Hot Prince Rose. Okay? He was an amazing human being. The point of the matter is that these are all spin-offs in the wrong direction. They're separating people. And right now we have a bigger enemy going on. We have two things that are coming that are really bad. We have disease and stuff and starvation. It's already here. There's a lot of people that are already dipping into their food reserves for the days to come to stay alive right now. It's that bad, okay? And the other thing
that you sound like one of
those guys, because they're coming. They're here. They're everywhere. Yeah, they didn't show up in New York City yet and walk into Lincoln Center, but they're with the kids in Peru, they're with the baskets. Just the other day, I was talking to a Kutua elder down your way. They were sitting there having a ceremony, and all of a sudden they saw these three lights coming right up the valley, right over their head like a triangle.
Jeez.
You know, like, and I'm not a UFOlogist, okay? I know all about the people from the stars. I don't join in with their paranoia and their backstabbing sociopathic illnesses. They cut each other's throat, and most of what they talk about isn't anything tangible. You know, it's like, you have this, on the other side of that, you have all of these new spiritual medicine men, okay? And they don't talk, they talk about these. Now, this comes right from the elder down there, buddy. And he says, they keep telling me that they're getting these messages from these mythical phantom elders, these spiritual elders. He says, so I say to them, well, bring them right here by the fire. We're sitting here right now, and we're right here by this fire, and we're talking in council here in this teepee. He says, so bring them here. Let them talk to us. But they never materialize. Doesn't that sound like a lot of what happened in a lot of the Christian organizations created all these mythical things that have nothing to do with anything?
Oh, yeah.
They've never seen anything. They've never... Who are these mythical elders from the other side that come in and give them messages? It's bring them here. I mean, any place that we go that we do sacred ceremony, those spirits, those entities, they come. So you have to really discern what people are saying, you know. I think, what is that? I come from Missouri, and you got to show me?
Let's
on paranoia and fear.
Yeah.
There's people out there, instead of offering spirituality, they're offering witchcraft.
Yeah.
And I don't think that the average person who is not familiar or experienced with ceremony knows the difference. You know, witchcraft is low-life shit.
Yep.
And it's a very low-level energy. It's always manipulative. It is always the grandiose and grandized, the person administering it, never the people. It's when you do things in ceremony, they people walk out of there and they feel great. They feel good. They feel rejuvenated, they feel proud of themselves. That's what's supposed to happen. Not that they create a guru. That's witchcraft. It's called mind control.
I tried somebody pull foul medicine on me one time. It was really kind of funny because, you know, we come home from a gathering and this owl medicine's on the door. And I go, huh, you know. I thought, oh, this is interesting. And so I left it there and started having computer glitches. You know, so, three ego popping. Well, you had this kind of problem, you know, you need to smudge it. And that worked, but they kept being problems. So the medicine man, we went out and we literally had to get rid